Hi, well, welcome. I'm excited about this seminar. I've been thinking about it all summer, and actually we've been seeing a lot of fruit this summer in the Roseland community of Chicago. Welcome for those that are coming in. Go ahead and take handouts. My name is Mark, and I live and work in the inner city of Chicago. Chicago has 77 different communities, and I live in the south side, the Roseland community, which is probably one of the top four or five worst ones in the whole city of Chicago. And as you know, you probably have been seeing a lot of violence that's been going on in the city. So I'm going to address that in the second part of this seminar in the area of prayer. Really, we're going to talk about two main emphases of ministry is evangelism and the importance of prayer, especially corporate prayer in the community. For those that are coming in, again, my name is Mark, and I forgot to put my email on this. And so my email is, and also for those that are listening on the tape, Mark, M-A-R-C dot Henkel, H-E-N-K-E-L, at CRU.org. So if you have questions or you want to get back to me later on, you can definitely email me, and I'll try to help connect you to any of the resources that we talk about today. As we talk about evangelism, we're going to talk about that first. There's several scriptures that I wanted to highlight first. I know all of you are passionate about the Word of God and that you already have a commitment to the Word of God. But whenever we talk about evangelism, we want to talk about what is the motivation for it. And so these are some key verses in my life that I ask myself when I get ready to share my faith. One is I think about what Paul says in Romans 9, that he had great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart. He said, "For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people." And I think about my Roseland community. Do I have deep sorrow and unceasing anguish for those that I'm sharing with? And I would ask you the same question. How burdened are you for the people in your community? I think the burden of Christ is what will really motivate us and members of our congregation, because the sad truth is that many in our congregations are scared of sharing their faith and are not motivated because of hard hearts. I know that's true for me and many in my community. Secondly, we see in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that it's the love of Christ that should compel us. And we see that clearly marked out in Luke 19, where when he came to Jerusalem, he wept over it. Jesus had deep compassion, even as it says in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. I just envision Jesus walking up and down my Roseland community and having compassion for those that are lost in my community. And so those are the things, that's what I'm praying that God would do in my heart, that he would give me a deeper burden for the lost in my community. Not that I would get the right method, not that we would all know the right method, but that we would be so deeply in love with Christ that our tears could bring people to Christ, that our compassion, our love, would compel others to come to know Christ. So I know there's lots of other scriptures, and I pray that you have a passion already deeply rooted in you, but those are some things that I wanted to share from the beginning. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a few strategies related to things that we've been doing as far as outreach that we've seen success with in the Chicagoland area. I've been there for 27 years, and so all of these are tried and true. We've tried a lot of other things, but I'm not sharing the ones that necessarily haven't gone very well, but these are ones that we've seen fruit in. So the first one that we do every year before Box of Love, I know many of you are in cities where we have Boxes of Love, but what we do is we do gift bags and surveys. And basically all the strategies that we're sharing are ways that we need to build rapport and connection with those in the community as we're sharing the outreach, as we're sharing the gospel. And that's because people don't really care to know how much what you have to say until they know that you care for them, right? And so the first thing that we do is we start off with a little gift bag. We train people in order to be effective during Boxes of Love, and we put together little gift bags, basically. It's a sandwich bag, a big, you know, one of those, not sandwich bag, but a lunch bag. And we put microwave popcorn in there, some different candies. We put a New Testament or maybe the Gospel of John. And then we wrap it up and we put a little postcard on top that says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And basically, we can go door to door, or we can just stand out on the corners, or as people are walking by, and we say, "Hey, we're just out here today with such and such church, and Sam and I are out here. We just want to let you know that their church cares about you." And we're also out here doing a survey. We're trying to get the opinions of people in the community so that we could become more effective. Would you have time to do a 6-question survey with us? So first off, we're just breaking the ice, giving a gift without any strings attached. And then secondly, we're asking them for their opinion. So all these things that we're going to talk about are ways to helpful to get people to share, and where we're the listeners first. I believe as evangelists, we need to first be listeners before we can really share effectively. And so this survey tool is a great tool to do that. Plus, it gets you some great information for your church to build on. So it starts off with, you know, how long have you been in the community? What are some things that you like about the community? This is the other handout. I gave you an example of it. What are some problems in the community? Do you think the church could do a better job? What could the church do to address these needs? And then the last, and it says, do you believe God can bring a change to the community? And then after, and you're just listening and asking more. Oh, tell me a little bit more about that. Why do you think that? Or why don't you think that? And then the last one says, yeah, I believe God can bring a change to the community, but he oftentimes starts with individuals. And then I would have one of my Knowing God Personally booklets that we oftentimes use or any gospel track, and say, I have a little booklet here that lets you know how you can personally begin a relationship with Jesus. Would you be interested in knowing more? And that's really a helpful tool to really kind of get into a gospel spiritual conversation using a gospel track. So that's gift bags and the survey method that we've done, that we've used in Chicago, and have seen quite a bit of fruit. Every year we do that, and we see people come to faith in Christ every year through using that. And it's pretty non-threatening. People like receiving gifts. People like giving their input on a survey. And that gives them the freedom to say yes or no. No, I'm good, or I have time. And then we don't pressure them. We say, great, okay, we'll have a great day and move on to the next house or whatever. The next one is solarium cards. How many people are familiar with solarium cards? Okay, a couple. But there are a few that aren't. And so I wanted to share this resource. This is the campus ministry of CREW uses this quite a bit. Did you have a question?
Just a question about the first one.
Sure. Okay, great.
You're going door to door in a neighborhood that you've been kind of trying to reach, or are you doing it setting up on a corner somewhere?
We typically do it mostly door-to-door. This is a great one for door-to-door, but it doesn't have to be. We've done it. Sometimes we'll do it. We'll do it door-to-door in my community, or we'll do evangelism trainings in other communities and do it, and that works really well. But some people still feel awkward about door-to-door, which is completely understandable. And so they might just walk up and down and just see people walking, and you can stop, hey, we got a gift for you. So you can. I've done it both ways, and both ways are effective. But when you go to somebody's door, you need something to break the ice, because they're like, who are you? What do you want? So a gift bag usually does a good job of that. Okay, the solarium is a deck of about 50 different picture cards that have all different kinds of pictures on it. So this one is like a guy walking in the darkness with a light. This one is, you know, barbed wire. So it's all different kinds of pictures. Somebody plugging their ears, not wanting to hear. All different kinds of really interesting pictures. And then it comes with some questions. And so again, it's really just an opportunity to sit and listen to somebody. And so the first one is you would ask them if they'd be interested in giving you some of their opinions. And the first question is, which three images would you use to describe your life right now? And so they might pick this and say, my life feels cramped. I feel like I'm stuck. And then you say, tell me a little bit more about that. Why do you feel that way? And again, you're just listening to their story. And then the second one is, which of these three cards do you wish were part of your life? And then you again listen to that. Then you would say, which of these three images best describe your personal view of God? And why do you say that? And so those are some really good questions where you're just listening. Oftentimes, they'll respond and say, well, tell me, what do you think? Which pictures would you use to represent your life? And that's a great opportunity to do that. So great at starting up good spiritual conversations. What we've done in the inner city of Chicago is we've pasted a lot of these to a board, and we cut up some watermelon. This is real inexpensive outreach. And we go out, we set up in a big park, and people come by and we say, free watermelon. All you have to do is come and share a few thoughts on these pictures. and they come up, and then you get into really great spiritual conversations with people. And then at the end, you can share, well, this is the picture that I chose about God, and this is why I chose this picture, or these are the four pictures that I think represents the gospel, and you can, you know, pair them up with the Knowing God Personally booklet if you want, or whatever. And so that's another really good opportunity to engage people around spiritual conversations. And I have the website there where you can order that if you're interested in getting some of those. And, of course, you can check these out after the seminar. The third one down is our free car wash outreach. This is great if you have a lot of young people, or if you have a youth group that's coming in to serve with you and you want to do a creative outreach. Basically, what we do is we divide up our team into three different groups. One group is doing the car wash, because obviously you want to do a good job washing the cars. And then another group works out in the evangelism tent. So basically, where people are waiting, getting their cars washed, they're just hanging out. And so we offer free car washes, and people are like, free? What's going on? Free car wash? Are you kidding me? And then we talk about the free love of God and the free gift of salvation. And so while people are waiting, they got 20 minutes with not going anywhere, and that's a great time to engage them in spiritual conversations while they're enjoying a soda or some popcorn or whatever if you have refreshments. And so that's a great place just to sit down in the shade and talk about Christ. And then the other third are doing advertising and drawing. And so every hour we just rotate, and we do it for about 3 hours. So each group gets to spend time in the evangelism tent, each group gets to spend time washing cars, and each group gets to spend time advertising or drawing. So that's been really effective, and people are just blown away that it's meeting a legitimate need. People in my community love having their cars washed. And so we're able to meet a tangible need and at the same time shine the light of Christ. And then we have the prayer table outreaches, which we've been focusing a lot on this summer. Pretty much once a month, we collect churches from all over Roseland to come together, and we just basically set up a table. We get water, granola bars, and we just pass out water and granola bars to people that are coming by, and then we ask them if they'd be interested, can we pray for you? And we spend time praying for them, and they're very interested, very open to praying. And then afterwards, we ask them if they have a church home or if they're interested in knowing more about Christ. And we've seen 20 people receive Christ this summer through our prayer table outreaches. So it's really been really effective because people love to be prayed for. And a lot of times they'll come up. We had one woman named Cynthia come up. And she said, I don't want water. I want you to pray for me. And as we were praying for her, she was just filling up with tears. And she said, and her face was all cut up. And she said, last night I tried to commit suicide, but I passed out and landed on the ground, and I don't even know why I'm still alive. And we were able to share the gospel with her, and Cynthia received Christ that day. So that's just an amazing outreach. There's so many people that are hurting and just needing some love, and offering free prayer is a great way to connect with people in the community. It's also great at a courthouse. There's a ministry in Chicago that sets up a prayer table outside of courthouses every day in Chicago and offers prayer for people that are coming in for court cases or to see loved ones. And so that's another great way to meet tangible needs and to be right there when people need encouragement and love. We've also had Wing in a Prayer. So we had one group that's passing out chicken and praying for people. So he called it Wing in a Prayer Ministry. So that's another creative way to just grab attention. We had a whole city bus. I mean, they stopped right in front of us. There's no bus stop there, but the bus driver opens up, hey, we weren't given wings, but we were given hot dogs. And they said, we want some hot dogs and prayer. And so we had several of our staff jump up on the bus, a CTA bus, and pass out hot dogs to everybody while somebody stood in the front of the bus and just prayed over everybody and prayed for God's blessings to rain down upon them. So that's just, you don't hear about that every day. So pretty exciting. And then one other evangelism strategy that we've been using lately is from a group that's called Time to Revive. And so they have these, we like gospel tracts, but these little wristbands are really fun. They're basically five different colors, and each color has a different, if you saw this up close, you would see that there is embossed in it a different verse of the Romans Road. And so basically what would happen is, I'm going to use Sam as an example. Thanks for sitting in the front row, Sam.
You said that.
And so basically, after we pray at our free water outreach, I say, Sam, we have a gift for you. And I give him the gift, and he looks at it, and most people are like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And I say, can I take a few minutes to explain what those different colors mean? And almost everybody says yes. And then we can go through, and each one of those verse, there's a verse for each one. And so we have a Bible, or you can use a card that has the verse on it. And each one of those, it starts off with the yellow one that represents sin. Then we go to the black one, which is death. Sin leads to death. But the good news is that Jesus died on the cross. That's the red one. And then there's the blue one, which is faith. We need to put our faith in Christ, which is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And then there's the green one, which is life, which is Romans 10, 9, and 10. So each one of those has a verse, and you just basically go through it, and you ask them if they want to read the verse, they can read it, or you can read it, and then you ask them what they think it means. Tell me, what do you think that verse means? And you just listen to them, and if they're right, you know, that's great. Yeah, huh, I agree with you. Or if it's not, you can kind of correct them a little bit. And then after you go through it, you say, is there anything right now keeping you from experiencing or receiving the free gift of God? And so many times they're open to receiving Christ. And again, you know, at our outreaches this summer, we've seen 20 people receive Christ from using free water, prayer, and these little wristbands. So I brought a box of them. These typically cost, if you wanted to get a wristband and a card, they typically cost $1 a piece from online. And the Bible, a whole set with this, with the Bible, cost $5. So if you wanted to get some of those today, if you want to take one home with you, you can purchase those later on. So let's see. I want to make sure I'm going to go ahead and jump into prayer, because I definitely wanted to leave a few minutes at the end for us. I know there's hundreds of different great creative evangelism strategies, and so I wanted to leave some time for question and answer, and also for us to be able to share some of the evangelism strategies that you've been using. But I wanted to flip over to the back, unless there's any quick questions about stuff on the front. Any quick questions about any of these outreaches that I didn't quite explain well?
On the survey, are you having them turn it into you right then and there?
Usually what we do is we have little mini clipboards, and so Sam and I might go out and we would say, okay, hi, I'm Mark, and this is Sam, and we're from ABC Church. And then we write down their answers for them, because we don't want them just to fill it out and not dialogue. One of the purposes of the survey is to be able to engage in meaningful conversation about the community. And so if I'm holding the clipboard writing their answers, that gives me time to be able to listen to them and ask follow-up questions rather than them just filling out the answers. Okay. On the back, we've also been seeing great strides in the area of prayer, revival prayer in Chicago, especially in the Roseland community. One of the things that that we're really excited about is something called the Peace Campaign. Basically, we went to our police commander, being that there's so much violence in the city of Chicago, we went to our police commander and asked him, what's the worst corner in all of the community? And he told us, that's easy, that's 119th in Princeton. That's the hub of a lot of negative activity and violence and shootings in our community. And basically, as most of you know, when you walk into a dark room, if this room was completely dark and you walked in, would you curse the darkness and say, wow, this is so dark, I can't believe it. It's terrible that it's dark in here? What would you do if you came into a dark room? Do you curse the darkness, or do you what?
Turn on
the light. That's right. And the problem is a lot of times in our inner city communities, we're cursing the darkness. But God has called us the light of the world, right? And so we need to go to the places where it's the darkest, and turn on the light, to be the light. And so what we've done is we've taken that corner, and we've been on that corner every Friday night from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And we started Memorial Day, and we're going to go all the way through Labor Day. And we're there, and and it's not just one church, but we've gone and we've shared this, and there's about 10 different churches. Each church takes a different night, and then there's some people that are just committed to it and want to come out every night. And basically what we do is we stand on the corner, we pray every hour for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, however long the Spirit leads, either in small groups or in a large group. And then we put on the worship music. We have speakers, so the whole community is hearing. We had one woman that was lived about two blocks away, and she was getting ready for bed about 11 o'clock at night. And she heard, that sounds like worship music. I know what worship music sounds like. And that's not the usual music I'm hearing late at night. And then she was brushing her teeth. And now I hear praying. I know what praying sounds like. So then she got dressed and came down and joined us. So it's really been exciting to hear different people join us. And then at midnight, we take communion. And we just plead the blood of Christ over the whole community. And so since we've been out there for 8 weeks, there has not been one shooting in that whole mile radius around that corner. And so we're praising God that he is shining the light, that he is, we're making peace happen. Scriptures say that blessed are the peacemakers. And so we're going out to make peace happen. Not us, but the Holy Spirit is using us collectively. And it's not just one church, because one church would have a hard time sustaining something like that. But as we come together as residents, as different community leaders, and do that week after week, we're seeing God do some great things. Plus, we've seen 7 people receive Christ. We had one woman named Tia come down the street. Again, we were passing out water. And we said, hey, Tia, can we pray for you? And she said, sure. And immediately, she just started weeping. And then eventually, we were able to talk to her and share the gospel with her, and she received Christ. And during the communion time, she stood up to testify, and she said, 119th Street has always been a curse to me. She shared that she was raped twice on that street and that she overdosed on drugs 3 different times on that very street. But she said, but tonight, this street is no longer a curse but a blessing because I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so that's amazing testimonies. That's amazing things that God is doing in answer to our prayer. And a lot of times we just start off by just confessing the sins of the church over the loudspeaker. We're just praying and asking God to forgive us. And we're seeing God do some really cool things. One other prayer strategy is our Pray Roseland team. Basically, we started this. A couple of leaders came by probably about 1.5 years ago and said, we just have a burden for this community. Can we meet together and just ask God, just meet together once to pray and see what God wants to do? And so we started the group, ended up starting a group called Pray Roseland, where once a month we go out together and we're calling all the churches. There's 120 churches in Roseland, and we're trying to see how many that we can come out and gather together for a united corporate prayer in our community. And so during the cold months, we go into places like the elementary school or the local high school and pray over every classroom in that building. Or we'll go into the hospital and go pray in the ER and over various rooms in the hospital. And then the warmer months, we'll do our corner free water outreaches. So that's been really exciting to see God pulling together community residents. And as I think about revival in our communities, I really believe that it's got to involve corporate prayer. Reaching the youth, mentoring, jobs are all important. But stuff like shooting is not just a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. Because even as we heard today, I think it was Natasha that shared some of these verses, our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
Right.
It's against the powers and the principalities in the heavenly realm. And the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. I believe anybody that gets shot in Roseland, yes, there was a person that pulled the trigger, but ultimately there was an evil demonic spirit that was involved in that activity as well. And Jesus said in Mark 9, when the disciples couldn't cast out an evil spirit out of a boy, and they came to him and asked, why couldn't we do that? And he said that that this kind only comes out by prayer and some translations say fasting. And I believe that there's territorial spirits over different communities, over our cities, just like in the book of Daniel, when it talks about the Persian kingdom, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted that angel coming to encourage Daniel. There's principalities that are warring against our people and our communities, and those are only going to be driven out by prayer and fasting. And so we need to come together as believers and, yes, not neglect the youth activities, not neglect the different other things that we're doing, but prayer has to be in the lead of those activities to pull down those strongholds in our communities. So, yeah, those are some of the cool things that we're seeing God do. I'm going to show one last evangelism tool that is very interesting. It's not a necessarily evangelism strategy, but it's a tool that you could use, and then I'm going to open it up for us to share the wealth. This is called the Chemical Cross. And so I'm going to share this. And then basically I'm going to, this little sheet, I'll go ahead and pass these out. Sam, can you make sure that each person gets one of these? They want them. This tells you where you can purchase this from if you're interested. But we'll start off with Kenesha here. She looks really nice and clean, but actually she was not clean. She was born with this. This is a bottle of sin. How many of you have some of this these bottles at your house? So she was born like that. Okay? Does anybody want to drink that? No. All right? And so eventually, Kenesha started feeling bad and started to say, wow, I don't like the way I feel on the inside. I feel dirty. I want to get rid of that nasty feeling. I feel empty. I feel lonely. I feel disconnected. And I want to get changed. And so she didn't know what to do, so she ran into some friends. So first she ran into Mr. Pleasure. And Mr. Pleasure said, Kenesha, all you need to do is have some fun and forget about that, how you're feeling. You'll start to feel better. So she went out to the clubs, and then she went and she started smoking marijuana, and then she got started drinking alcohol. But every morning she'd wake up and feel worse than the time that she did before. Then she ran into a friend, Mr. Money, and Mr. Money said, Kenesha, all you need to do is buy some things and you'll start to feel better about life. So let me get this real quick. And so she went and she got a nice paying job, but that didn't help her feel any better. Then she bought a bunch of jewelry and nice clothes, and she even bought a brand new car, and that didn't help her feel any better. Then she ran into Mr. Good Works, and Mr. Good Works said, well, Kenesha, your problem is that your bad works are outweighing your good works. Right now you need to do more good works. So she started tutoring the kids at her nearby, and then she helped the little ladies across the street, and then she was even nice to her older sister. So, but that didn't help. No matter what she did, no matter how many good works, it didn't help her feel any better. Then she ran into Mr. Churchgoer, and Mr. Churchgoer said, "You just need to start going to church, and you'll feel better." So she went one Sunday and didn't feel any better. And they said, "No, you need to go to Sunday school too." So Kenesha went to Sunday school the next time. And they said, well, you also need to go to the midweek prayer service. And so she went to the midweek prayer service. Still nothing changed. Then she ran into Mr. Baptism. Mr. Baptism said, Kenesha, all you need to do is get baptized. And so the church that she was going to at the time said, well, she was sprinkled, so that didn't help. And then she went to another church. No, you need to be fully immersed, Kenesha. So even that didn't help. And finally, she ran into somebody, and he said, well, you need to invite Jesus to come into your heart, because only Jesus can take away your sin. And so she realized that her sin was separating her from God, and so she invited Christ to come into her life and realized that he was the one who died on the cross. And so she trusted him, and as she prayed and received Christ, all of her sins were washed away. She had a lot of sin in her life there. So praise God. And then you can say, well, what happens if Kenesha sins tomorrow? Will she have to, well, Christ never leaves her. So even her past, present, and future sins have been forgiven by the cross. So that's called the chemical cross. Basically, this is a bottle of iodine. And this is a plastic cross. But in the back of it, there are some holes drilled in, and the top is open. And so it comes with some developmental photo crystals that can dissolve the iodine or take the color out of iodine. And so you put a few of those in, but nobody sees the holes in the back. So it's a great, you can do it with children, with teenagers, even Sunday sermons, you know, whatever you want to do. Great for outreaches, large group presentations, because it's really a concrete way to make an abstract concept of salvation visual for people. So we use it a lot with children and teens. So, all right, we have about...
Where do we get
that? That is from Open Air Campaigners. They also have all kinds of other gospel illusions. They have whiteboards, so that's where you can get it from, Open Air Campaigners. And this white cross, it comes with the white cross and the chemicals or the crystals, and it's only $8. So it's a great tool for you to use. Plus, they have all different kinds of things. If you want to, you can come up with a whole gospel magic show if you want. Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left for this seminar, so I wanted to give time for people to share ideas that you have done, as well as maybe a if you have questions about anything that we shared today. So I'm going to start off. I know Sam already has an evangelism thing that he uses, so I'm going to let Sam share about what he does with the homeless.
Okay. So I work with Mark in Chicago. I'm on staff with Chicago Crew. Mark is my supervisor and he's the co-city director. I've been there for 5 years and I have been doing ministry for about 24 years. And a lot of my ministry has been with young adults. I do the adult development piece there and help oversee our partner ministries. I've been doing homeless ministry for a long time. So when I was taking class, we had to do a study of homeless. And it's there that the Lord put in my heart compassion for homeless people. I found out a lot of things about homeless people, myths that we have about them. It's not always true. And I remember what really motivated me. I was going to class one morning and I saw this guy. He was digging in the garbage. And I had just come out of Dunkin' Donuts. I had my breakfast going to class. And so I offered it to him. And he said, "I don't want that." He said, "Put it in the garbage." I said, "I'm not doing that." You know, I said, "I would prefer not to. If you can't take it out of my hand, I'm sorry. I'm not going to degrade you by doing that." And it just made me more motive to go out and help. And so here of lately, this is what I call my summer drive-by care kit. So I have a lot of these in my car, intentionally driving throughout the city of Chicago and the south suburbs. The staff members have got on board, and I make a lot of these for everybody. And instead of money, you know, this opens up the door for conversation. You know, and I'll tell a person that, "Well, I don't have any money, but I have a bag full of goodies." You know, I stuff it with a lot of good things, and I said, "This may sustain you until you collect enough money to get something to eat." I said, "But if you will mind, I want to share a little bit of what's in here," which I have small toiletries in here, also with the snacks. But then I have one of my favorite tracks is "That God Loves You." And I have another one that I really love. It's called "If I Never See You Again." And I use those tracks to build a conversation about how Jesus Christ cares about this individual. And I don't want to just make this a one-time stop if possible. Because, you know, if people are standing on the corner, they may not be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I will intentionally go back the next day or the next day after that, remember their name, and come back to build a stronger relationship if I can. And that is to get them to go out and have lunch with me, where I can sit down and really talk to them and find out a little more about them. Crew in the City has a larger care kit, but I have a winter one. Something like this, but it also has gloves, caps, scarves and things like that to help with the homeless. So that's just one of the ways that, and this is really effective. It's just as simple as getting a bunch of goodies and some small hand toiletries and giving them out to the people. And you will see amazement how God works with that. Right.
And if you partner with suburban churches, you can let them know what your needs are for those type of things. A lot of times those partnerships are more than willing to provide the resources like that. Okay, this is where we open it up for questions or answers or other creative outreach opportunities that you have seen successful.
Well, my name is Carl. I'm from Philly. But I wanted to, just in response to what he was saying, there's also a website called Dollar Days. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with it. DollarDays.com. And I go to Dollar Days through them for a lot of stuff like that. They have prepackaged care kits and stuff, and it's for a very, very reasonable price. You can buy them in bulk. They'll ship them out to you. And, like, I think depending on the size of the order and whatnot, they'll even ship it out to you for free, for the shipping cost. But you pay for the stuff, but it's very, very cost efficient, because I'm sure people probably pastor some churches that aren't really big. We don't have huge budgets. So, but, I mean, yeah, that's what we've done in Philly, done the same thing. As far as getting those care packages, add a few things in them, but they'll give you those toiletries and stuff like that, shampoos. You can buy them in different sizes and stuff. And so just a resource I went through out there.
Great. Excellent. Who else wants to share an idea or a creative strategy that you've been seeing God do?
Good evening. Good afternoon. My wife, Pastor Slater, she, Lord, put it on her heart, and we've been doing it for about 12, 13 years now. And it's called drive-through prayer. Drive-through prayer. She said, we got fast food drive-throughs. We have every kind of drive-through that you can name. But we don't have nothing for prayer, you know.
Okay.
And let me tell you, it was just so powerful. We started the first 3 years in our ministry. Our ministry was 15 years old. We were like 3 years old at that time. And we get out there and we have all kind of noise makers, horns hollering, free prayer, free prayer. Mm. And, you know, a lot of partners, we standing out here, they feel a little embarrassed, but once they realize how powerful it was, you know, God really began to move. Let me just go on and fast forward about 5 years from that three-year period. A gentleman came back to our new building, and he said, I know y'all don't remember me, but I remember you all. Y'all used to do that drive-through prayer thing down on the corner. Mm. I said, yes. He said, well, I want to thank God for you all, because if it was not for drive-through prayer, my plans were to go home, kill my family, and take my own life.
Oh, man.
He said that in the middle of the sanctuary, and everything just erupted right now in praise. Mm-hmm. So since then, we've modified it. We go to get flowers and everything. We handed out flowers as people driving by. Mm. For the National Day of Prayer, we had groups out there from 8 o'clock that morning to 6 o'clock that evening, having drive-through prayer out of that whole day. About 50 souls gave their life to Christ.
Mm.
And it's powerful, and you can do the water thing. You can modify it however you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And people are driving through it. We're putting our hands on the cars. Mm-hmm. We're praying. Or they're just getting out the car. We're having a circle. And so that was a blessing. And one other is dive-in. Instead of drive-in, dive-in prayer, and that's an apartment ministry. Well, we go to the apartments, we set up a big old screen, we have a movie shown at that time, and we're giving popcorn, candy, and all that stuff away to every child and family in the apartment. We make a connection with the apartment managers, and so they let us come in, and that's a great thing. I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
No plagiarism in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Another.
Just a suggestion to what we do with Philly as well. We also do what we call the blue line and orange line gospel, where the blue line is like the L train and the orange is the subway train to Philly. But we would actually offer prayer and share the gospel with people before work hours. So like catching people commuting on their way to work, because of course that's one of our most stressful points of the day is we're dreading going into work, carrying a lot of burdens and whatnot, and also the rush hour times. So we would actually compile teams of people, and we would all be on like the subway and ride the subway from front to back, you know, first station all the way to the end of it, and actually offer prayer with people during those hours, because we know people had stressful days at work. And just like sometimes people have some of the most craziest stories we're hearing from people that they're currently going through, like coming home from work. Some people are in danger of losing their jobs and everything else. And I mean, just so timely. So something that's free and it's very, very effective. We've seen it to be effective in Philly. So
wonderful.
Did you have any problems with the transit system in doing that right there?
No. Which is shocking, because we did mall takeovers. So we've got kicked out of malls a few times because they said like it's a disturbance or whatever. But not from the rail systems and stuff. They actually have transit police and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They've actually encouraged this, because in Philadelphia for a while it was like these teens were doing flash mobs and they were playing this game called Knockout where a guy actually got beat to death by three high school students just randomly, just because. And, you know, they film it and all that stuff now. So they were actually encouraging us to just keep at it, and they were actually thanking us for it. So it was a very, very positive response from them.
Reason I asked that, because I'm in San Diego, and we said the line we had started to practice with, we just started witnessing and preaching it to stop, and we tried to get on the line right there, and there were several entities that they would allow us to proclaim the gospel as long as we wasn't on what considered their property line. We had to stand outside of the property line. We couldn't come on the property line. And, you know, and some of the most, what we call, bad area of town that we was trying to, by being there and praying and doing that type of thing, hope to deter crime, they ran us away in crime and grief, you know. And it is because, I guess, everybody was, I won't say everybody, but different entities of religious organizations
right.
was fighting for territory
right.
to
right.
be on the platform, and so they ran everybody away.
It's terrible.
It was.
Any other final evangelism strategies or prayer ideas that you wanted to share before we bring this time to a close? Okay, another one?
We, in West Oakland, California, we do pop-up ministries where we just show up and we'll just serve food. We noticed that food and music attracted people in the neighborhood. So we've been, our pastor Larry is actually a hip-hop Christian minister. So he gets up and he'll rap a little bit, get some word out, and at the same time, giving away street tacos or something like that. So it's always pretty cool.
Great. Excellent.
One of the things that we're a new church plant. One of the things that we did to attract families right off the bat was youth sports and utilizing organized sports is very expensive. And we're an inner city church. And so we did a softball league, not very organized, but just got individuals in the community. We organized sports at $150, and the inner city kids, those kids don't get to compete. So we charged $25. We did six teams. We had 125 kids signed up.
Right?
And what I instructed the church to do, we got people outside the community to help coach. And what I encouraged our church to do was for 6 weeks, we had anywhere from 150 to 200 parents in the park, and we just started a relationship.
Absolutely.
We started a relationship. I said, listen, don't evangelize, get to know them. And when it's the end of the season, then we did the call out and told them about the church. This is where we're at. And it was non-threatening. And the kids loved it because they got to do sports. And that's one of the ways that we did that pre-launch.
Wonderful. Excellent. All right, well, I know that there's another seminar coming up, so I'm just going to close our time in prayer and ask God to empower us as we go back to our communities and look for opportunities to share our faith. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person that's here, each church that's represented, and for the hundreds and thousands of lost people that surround their churches and ministries. Father, we pray that you would empower us, that you would stir our hearts, that you'd give us a love, a deep love and passion for those in our community, and that you would bring many others around us. Lord, help unite the churches so that we can serve together, that we can share the gospel together. And we pray that you do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or imagine in bringing a rich harvest of souls into the kingdom and use some of these strategies that we've talked about today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.